The call comes before sunrise. A quiet voice. A short breath. Then the line goes still. In one city block, a woman changes her route to work. In another, a man erases messages he should keep. Across town, a teenager mutes every notification and still does not feel safe. Domestic abuse, sexual assault, and stalking do not start the same way, and they do not end the same way. What they share is a pattern of control and a cost that reaches far beyond a single night. This series stays with the moments most people never see. The plan that gets someone out of a home. The exam that preserves evidence and dignity. The notebook that proves a pattern when no one is watching. We keep the focus on safety, choices, and support. The question is simple and hard at once. What does it take to be safe today and tomorrow? Chapter 1, Behind Closed Doors. 7:15 in the morning. The intake room is small and bright. A table sits near the door. Two chairs face each other. A box of tissues rests between them. A kettle clicks in the corner. The staff member greets the visitor with a soft hello. She offers water and a moment to breathe. She explains what the next hour will look like. No rush. The visitor nods and looks at the door again. The door is closed. It locks from the inside. This is a shelter intake in Kingston. The building is plain from the street. The lobby holds a notice board and a short list of rules. No photos. No full names until both sides agree. Phones on silent. If a phone rings, the staff will ask to step outside to answer. The intake starts with a safety check. Has anyone followed you today? Does anyone else know you are here? Do you feel safe to speak now? The visitor answers in short lines. She says she changed her route. She turned off location services on her phone. She left early and texted a friend to expect a message at 8:30 in the morning in case she does not check in. The staff member listens and slows the pace. She explains the purpose of the meeting. Today is about safety and options. No one has to decide everything now. The visitor can choose to stay, to file a report, to ask for a protection order, or to return home with a safety plan. Domestic abuse is more than hits and bruises. It is a pattern of behaviors that seek control. It can include verbal threats. It can include money rules that trap a person. It can include tracking, pressure, and isolation. The pattern may start with love and attention. It often shifts when control is challenged. The visitor shares a timeline. It begins 1 year ago. He wanted passwords to her accounts. He said couples should share everything. He checked her phone each night. He told her to stop talking to friends who asked too many questions. He started driving her to and from work and timed how long she took in the office. At first, he brought lunch and sent flowers. Later, he kept the car keys and said the bus was not safe. Early red flags sit in small details. Sudden speed in a relationship. Constant texting that demands instant replies. Jealous behavior framed as care. Questions about money and payday. Rules around clothing and schedules. Pressure to drop friends and family. Humiliation that looks like a joke in public and is cruel in private. Threats against pets. Property damage that sends a message but leaves no injury. The intake room keeps a chart that helps a person name what they face. It lists physical harm. It lists sexual pressure and coercion. It lists emotional abuse. It lists financial control. It lists spiritual pressure. It lists digital stalking. It lists immigration threats. The staff member reads each line once. The visitor points to the boxes that match her life. Control is the center. Physical harm is one tool among many. The person who harms may alternate apology and blame. There may be expensive gifts. There may be tears. There may be promises to start again. The next day brings a new rule or a demand. The target learns to scan the room before speaking. The house gets quiet. The house gets small. The staff member asks about children. The visitor has one child who is 6. The school is close to home. Pickup time is 3 in the afternoon. The staff member writes this down and asks who else can pick up the child. The visitor lists a cousin and a neighbor who knows the situation. They agree on a code phrase to send if help is needed. The phrase is simple and ordinary. Work and housing shape every choice. The visitor says she cannot miss another shift. She cleans hotel rooms and needs the day rate. She also fears losing her apartment. The lease is in his name. He has said she will be on the street if she leaves. The staff member notes this and adds a housing line to the plan. The plan will include a backup place to sleep. The plan will include a friend to hold a bag of clothes and documents. The staff member asks about devices. the visitor uses a phone that he bought. This matters. Phones can carry trackers. Accounts can sync to other devices. The staff member suggests using a safe device for calls and planning. She offers a phone that does not store personal data. She explains that changes to privacy settings can trigger alerts on the other end. She suggests slow changes over a few days. There is a pause. The visitor looks at the kettle. The staff member offers tea and opens the window for fresh air. They talk about the morning routine at the shelter. Breakfast is at 8. There is a school run for families. The playroom opens at 9. Quiet hours begin at 10 at night. The visitor listens and keeps her eyes on the door. Domestic abuse thrives in silence. Words restore ground. The intake room uses clear language. No one asks why you stayed. No one asks why you returned. The question is always what will help now. The staff member explains that the shelter is one option. It is not the only option. The visitor can return home today with a plan that increases safety. Safety planning is not a single list. It is a set of small moves that reduce risk. The plan is personal. It can change with time. Today they write a simple version the visitor can hold in her mind even when she is tired. They begin with people. Identify one friend who believes you. Identify one colleague who can cover a shift. Identify one neighbor who will call for help if needed. Agree on a code word that sounds ordinary in a text. Decide what time you will check in each evening. They continue with documents. Make copies of identification and birth records. Store photos of these in a secure folder that is not shared. Keep paper copies with a trusted person. Place a second set in a sealed envelope in a locker at work. They add money. Set aside small amounts in a safe place that does not trigger questions. Consider a direct deposit to a new account if that is possible. If not, use cash that you can access in a hurry. Keep coins and small bills for transport. They plan the home. Identify one room with a door that locks and a second exit. Keep keys and a spare phone near that room. Keep shoes and a jacket there. Place a flashlight and a copy of the safety plan in a drawer. Teach a child a simple phrase to use when calling for help. They think through transport. Keep the bus schedule written down. Store a charged travel card if the city uses one. If you drive, keep the tank above half. Park the car facing the street. Hide a spare set of keys in a place only you know. They prepare a go bag. Pack clothes for 2 days. Add medications for 1 week. Add a list of numbers to call. Add a small toy for a child. Add a charger that fits your safe phone. Keep the bag with a person you trust or at work. They address digital safety. Turn off location sharing on apps you use. Check which devices are linked to your accounts. Change one password per day and do not rush. Use two-step sign-in for email first. Photograph messages and call logs that show threats. Back them up to a place that cannot be reached from your home device. They add evidence steps. Keep a small notebook. Write the date, the time, and what happened. Include where you were and who saw it. Photograph damage and injuries if it is safe. Store copies away from home. Do not send the notebook by text or email. They think about pets. Identify a person who can house a pet for 1 week. Keep a spare leash and a packet of food in the go bag. Add vaccine records to the document set. Ask the shelter if they can help with boarding. They consider work. Speak with a supervisor you trust if that is safe. Ask about changing shifts for 1 week. Request to avoid late hours. Share the code word for help. Provide a photo to the front desk if security allows it. They discuss children in school. Speak with the principal if safe to do so. Add a new pickup list with the names of safe adults. Share the code word. Ask about side exits and safe waiting areas. Update contact numbers with the school secretary. They close with the plan for the next 24 hours. Send the check and text at 8:30 in the morning and 8:30 at night. Keep the safe phone charged and on silent. Avoid known routes for 1 week. Use public places for any exchange that must happen. Do not meet alone. Keep the go bag in reach. The staff member explains rights and options without pressure. A person can seek a protection order. A person can make a police report now or later. A person can stay at the shelter for a short time. A person can ask for a legal consult. None of these choices are required to receive help. The visitor nods. Relief and fear sit side by side. The intake shifts to the past for context. The visitor describes how rules appeared in the home. It began with praise and attention. It moved to daily checks. It grew into threats tied to money and to family. There were no visible injuries. There were holes in the wall. There were broken plates. There were silent dinners that stretched for hours. The visitor started to sleep with clothes on. She kept a bag under the bed. She taught her child to dial a number and say their address. The staff member notes the pattern. Escalation is common when control is challenged. Pregnancy can raise risk. A move or a new job can raise risk. A plan to leave can raise risk. The goal is to act with timing and cover. The plan spreads the risk across small actions taken over days. The intake covers technology again. Stalking often moves through screens. The visitor says he borrowed her phone and returned it later. The staff member explains that a small device can be hidden in a car or a bag. It can also live in apps. She offers a check for physical trackers in the car with the help of a support worker. She suggests a factory reset only after accounts are secured and a safe device is ready. They map daily life. Morning routine. Midday break. School run. Night. For each block, they mark one safe place and one person who can help. The map looks simple on paper. In practice, it is careful work. The visitor asks how long she must stay on alert. The staff member answers with honesty. Time depends on threat and on the response of the person who harms. The plan protects space for rest while keeping watch. The intake turns to housing and the lease. The visitor worries about eviction. The staff member lists general routes to try. Speak with a social worker who knows local housing rules. Ask a legal clinic about tenant rights and emergency orders. Look for short-term stays with family or at a safe house while the next address is set. Do not share the new address broadly. Update schools and work with only what they need. The conversation returns to the child. Children hear what is not said. They watch faces. They mirror stress. The staff member suggests one simple script for the child. The script avoids blame and repeats the same words each time. We are making a plan to be safe. It is not your fault. You can talk to me about any feeling. You can talk to the counselor at school. If you feel scared, say the code word and we will leave. The staff member asks about health needs. The visitor takes one medication daily. The clinic can refill for 2 weeks. The nurse will meet her in 1 hour if she stays. If she leaves, the clinic can send the prescription to a pharmacy near her work. The plan includes this detail. Small details keep a person steady when the day turns. A soft knock at the door. A counselor steps in with a brief smile. She brings a small folder. Inside is a copy of the safety plan, a list of general services, and a blank notebook. The visitor places the folder in her bag. She asks how to talk with a friend without exposing the plan. The staff member suggests a simple line. I am making changes to feel safe. I may ask for help with school pickup and a ride. Keep our talks private for now. Trust builds in small pieces. The intake room cannot remove risk in a day. It can help a person choose the next hour with more control. It can build a circle of support. It can connect legal options, counseling, and housing. It can lower the chance of sudden harm. The staff member returns to the question of choice. The visitor can stay today and rest. The visitor can return home with a plan and check in by phone. The visitor can meet a legal advocate this afternoon. The visitor can schedule a follow-up tomorrow morning. Each path is valid. The visitor looks at the clock. It is 8:20 in the morning. She has work at 9. They shape a plan that fits the hour. The visitor will call her cousin and ask for school pickup. She will send the code phrase to the neighbor. She will go to work and keep the safe phone in a pocket. At lunch, she will meet the legal advocate at a public place. After work, she will return to the shelter for one night. She will bring the child and the go bag. She will leave a note for the landlord that says she is safe and will return to discuss the lease. The intake ends with a short rehearsal. They read the plan aloud. Each step is clear and can be done. The staff member walks the visitor to the side exit. They stand near the door for a moment and breathe. The visitor steps outside and blends into the morning. The staff member watches the street until she turns the corner. Domestic abuse hides in routine. It also breaks when routine shifts. Today the shift is small and real. A plan exists on paper and in the head. A phone is quiet and safe. A child will see a cousin at 3. A meeting waits at noon. One question threads through each choice. How does someone get safe without losing work, housing, or a child? The next chapter follows what happens when the plan must hold under pressure. Chapter 2, After the Assault. The emergency department is bright and busy at 9 in the morning. A volunteer guides a woman to a quiet room near the nurse's station. The door closes. The room holds a chair, a small cabinet, and a blanket folded on the bed. A forensic nurse introduces herself and explains what will happen next. Every step is a choice. The woman can say yes or no at any point. The nurse will not move forward without consent. The nurse starts with care before evidence. She asks about pain. She checks breathing and pulse. She offers water and a warm blanket. She explains that a medical exam can treat injuries and infection. She explains that a forensic exam can also collect samples that may support a report now or later. The woman can do one, the other, or both. The nurse repeats that consent guides the pace. Time windows exist, but they are not the whole story. Evidence can be useful days later. Clothing can hold trace material. Photos can record injury that appears after a delay. The nurse asks if the woman wants to change into paper garments so clothing can be stored. She offers a bag for each item with the date and the time written on the outside. She explains that the hospital can hold the kit without a police report in many places. The woman can choose to add her name now or keep it private and decide later. An advocate from a local service sits nearby. She is here for the woman, not for the hospital or the police. She offers to stay during the exam or step outside. She can explain rights and choices. She can help arrange transport after the visit. She can connect the woman to counseling and legal support. Her role is steady and quiet. She answers questions and waits when silence is needed. The nurse walks through each part of the exam before starting. She explains where she will look for injury. She explains how swabs collect trace material. She explains that photos will be taken only with consent. She moves slowly and asks for permission at each step. She checks in often and watches for signs of fatigue. The advocate suggests short breaks so the woman can drink water and adjust her breathing. Trauma does not follow a script. A person may feel calm. A person may feel numb. A person may remember in pieces. The nurse works with this reality. She does not press for a full narrative. She takes notes for the medical chart. The advocate later helps the woman write a timeline in simple lines. The timeline is for the woman first. It can help her later if she chooses to make a report or apply for an order. When the exam is done, the nurse offers prevention and care. She explains medication to reduce the risk of infection. She explains options that may prevent pregnancy after an assault. She explains follow-up testing. She writes clear instructions and repeats the times aloud. The advocate schedules a check-in call for the next day and offers a safe device if phones at home are monitored. Outside the room, life continues. Inside, time is stretched. Before the woman leaves, the nurse asks about devices. Phones and watches can carry trackers. Apps can share location by default. Shared accounts can expose photos and messages. The advocate offers a short digital safety check. They review location services and sharing features. They list which accounts are linked to which devices. They decide to use a safe phone for calls with the advocate and with the clinic. Password changes will roll out slowly, so they do not trigger alerts. The woman has choices about reporting. She can speak to law enforcement today. She can wait and think. In many places, the hospital can keep an anonymous kit. The label uses a number. The kit is stored for a set period. The woman can later choose to attach her name. The advocate explains that every region handles this in its own way. She will make the calls and walk through the local rules. The goal is to hold options without forcing a decision in a hard hour. The advocate invites the woman to a quiet office the next afternoon. There, they will practice what a court day looks like. They will not promise an outcome. They will rehearse the steps so the hallway and the forms do not feel like a maze. The next day, the office door opens to a small table and two chairs. The advocate places a folder on the table. Inside are blank forms and a short script. The woman will not be asked to relive pain in front of strangers if she does not wish to file today. This meeting is a dry run to reduce fear and to map choices. They start with the protection order process. The advocate describes where to go, what to bring, and how to speak to the clerk. She explains that a sworn statement can be short and plain. It should name events and dates as best as the person can recall. It should include any witnesses and any photos. It should describe present danger and the reason for the request. The woman can ask for no contact. She can ask for distance from home, work, and school. She can ask for temporary custody and safe exchanges for a child. She can ask the court to protect pets. The clerk can explain which requests the court can grant in that region. Next is the criminal path. If the woman chooses to make a police report, she can bring the advocate. She can ask for a private room. She can ask for a female officer if one is available. She can give a statement in her own words. She can bring the timeline she wrote after the exam. She can say when she is too tired to continue and ask to pick up the interview later. She can ask how to receive updates. The advocate repeats that the woman controls this choice. She can pause. She can return. The folder holds a court day walkthrough. The advocate explains how an initial hearing may unfold. The woman might sit in a waiting area with others. Names may be called in groups. The judge may ask short questions. The advocate can sit nearby to steady the moment. If the judge grants a temporary order, it will be served. The advocate explains that service must reach the person who harmed. The order becomes enforceable when service is complete. The woman can carry a copy and provide one to work and to the school. They practice what to bring. A list of witnesses. Copies of texts and call logs. Photos printed and stored in a simple order. A map that shows home, work, and school. A note with the times that feel unsafe. A letter from a counselor if one exists. The advocate reminds her that she can ask for a support person in court if the rules allow it. They move to the part many people forget. Digital hygiene now becomes daily life. The advocate shows how to check account logins on major services. She shows how to review which devices are signed in. She shows how to turn off location sharing on photos and messaging. She suggests a new email with a neutral name for legal and medical updates. She suggests changing one password at a time over a few days. She warns that sudden changes to many accounts can trigger suspicion on the other end. The plan aims for quiet moves that protect privacy without raising alarm. The advocate introduces a small ritual. At the end of each day, the woman writes three lines in a notebook. What happened today? Who saw it? How she felt in her body? These lines build a record that does not live in a phone. The notebook stays with a trusted person or at work. If digital access is safe, she can photograph the pages and store them in a secure folder that only she controls. They talk about transport and routes. The woman will vary the time she leaves for work. She will use a different entrance for 2 weeks. She will switch the days she shops for food. She will ask a colleague to walk out with her at closing time. Everyday adjustments reduce risk without uprooting life. The advocate returns to the body. Trauma can lead to sleep problems. It can change appetite. It can bring flashes of memory. It is not a sign of weakness to ask for help. It is a sign that the body and brain need calm and routine. The advocate offers a list of counselors and a support group with short, closed sessions. The woman picks a time that fits her shift and school pickup. At noon, they take a break. The woman steps outside and breathes. She says she is afraid of losing her job if she has to appear in court. The advocate suggests asking a supervisor for a small schedule shift. The request can be simple. I have a legal matter that requires a short appearance. I will bring proof of attendance. I can trade shifts this week. The advocate also offers a letter that confirms the appointment without naming details. In the afternoon, they meet a legal worker who explains the difference between a police report and a civil petition. The legal worker explains the limits of each path. A petition can set rules for contact. A criminal case may bring charges. Both routes depend on evidence, witnesses, and the actions of the other party. No one can promise an arrest or a conviction. The legal worker helps the woman set realistic expectations. Control returns when expectations fit the system rather than the wish for a perfect fix. The advocate reviews device safety once more. People who stalk often use familiar tools. They guess security questions. They notice patterns. They watch shared calendars. They use tags on keychains or in bags. The plan includes checks for common trackers. The plan also includes a reminder to inspect the car for new devices or fresh tape near the wheel wells. A support worker can assist with this in the daylight with a second person present. Evening brings another practice run. They enter a small mock courtroom in the office. A volunteer plays the clerk. Another plays the judge. The woman walks to the table and places her folder down. Her hands shake and then steady. She reads a clear statement in short lines. The advocate nods at each pause. The woman asks for the specific protections she needs for work and school. She finishes and steps back. The room is quiet. The rehearsal ends with a simple truth. Courage grows in practice. Clarity reduces fear. The next days are about holding ground. The woman keeps the medical follow-up. She takes her medication on time. She answers the advocate's call on the safe phone after work. She varies her route. She prints photos at a shop away from home. She stores copies at a friend's place. She meets the legal worker once more and files the petition on a morning when the court is less crowded. On filing day, the clerk reads the papers and stamps the pages. The judge grants a temporary order that sets distance from home and work. Service is arranged through the proper channel. The advocate explains what to do if the person appears at the door. Do not engage. Call for help. State that there is a court order. Record the time and the place. Write it in the notebook and share with the advocate. The woman returns to work and keeps her head down. She tells one trusted colleague that there may be tension at the entrance in the coming days. The colleague agrees to watch from the front desk. A manager allows her to use a side exit if needed. The plan reaches beyond the hospital and the court. It lives in daily life through small, loyal acts. Weeks pass. Some days feel normal. Others do not. Memory moves in and out. The child asks questions. The woman keeps the script simple and constant. We are making a plan to be safe. It is not your fault. You can talk to me. You can talk to the counselor at school. The child repeats the words and returns to homework. The advocate visits the woman at the office again. They check the folder together. Photos are in order. Texts are printed with dates and times. Call logs are annotated. The notebook has clean entries. A single page summarizes key events with dates and places. The woman feels steadier. The story is now a set of facts she can carry without losing herself. They review the next hearing. Witnesses may speak. The other party may appear with a lawyer. The judge will listen and decide on a longer order or deny it. The advocate cannot promise a result. She promises to sit in the front row. She promises to help with an appeal if needed. She promises to keep the focus on safety, even if the order is short or narrow. Before the woman leaves, the advocate asks one last question. How will you protect evidence, devices, and routines while staying connected to support? The woman answers in clear lines. Keep the safe phone on silent and charged. Change one password per day. Vary routes and times. Write the notebook every night. Bring a friend to court. Carry copies at all times. Share only what is needed with work and school. The advocate smiles. The plan is real and in motion. It is not a guarantee. It is a shield that grows stronger with use. The woman steps into the afternoon light. She holds the folder close and breathes. The next chapter follows the pattern that lingers when the threat does not end at the door. Stalking crosses streets and screens. The question now is how to build a paper trail that proves the pattern and how to hold a life steady while it is built. Chapter 3. Stalking and Long Shadows. Morning traffic moves along Halfway Tree Road in Kingston. At 8:30 a.m. vendors set out fruit. Buses pull in and out. Among the crowds, a security guard watches a woman step off the curb, look behind her, and change direction. She is not lost. She is measuring space. Stalking does not always look like a chase. It often looks like routine that refuses to let go. Stalking runs on patterns. Former partners test doors that used to open. Strangers turn a brief contact into daily messages. Online followers cross from public comments to private threats. The tools vary. The logic is the same. Find. Watch. Control. A life shrinks when every route feels known and every hour feels seen. The first task is to treat stalking as a pattern, not a set of isolated moments. Patterns need paper. Paper needs a method. The method can be simple. One notebook. One line per event. Date. Time. Place. What happened? Who saw it? Save the line and move on. At the end of the week, copy the lines into a clean summary with dates and locations in order. Phones and apps can help, but they are not the only record. Screenshots with visible dates help. Call logs and message threads help. Photos of a car parked outside on three different days help. Camera footage from a shop helps. Ask the manager for a copy the same day. Store a second copy with a trusted person. Print key items. Keep a table of contents, so you can find a page fast under stress. Digital stalking often hides in sharing features that feel normal. Family albums. Cloud storage. Shared calendars. Location tags and photos. Review what is shared and with whom. Turn off location sharing where you can. Remove shared calendars that you do not need. Create a new email for legal and medical use only. Change one password per day. Add two-step sign-in to email first. If an account shows unknown logins, photograph the screen with the date visible and then sign out of all sessions. Devices can carry trackers. Tags can be slipped into a purse or a car. Navigation units can store home and work as favorites. Car systems can sync to a phone that is not yours. If you can, have a support worker or mechanic check the car in daylight. Look under seats. Check wheel wells. Check the trunk seams. Reset the car navigation to remove saved locations. If you find a device, photograph it in place with the date and the time. Ask for guidance on how to handle it under local law before you move it. Stalking also runs on routines people know by heart. Shift the rhythm where you can without losing income. Rotate routes to and from work. Use a different entrance for 2 weeks. Change the day you shop for food. Ask a colleague to walk with you to the bus. Vary the time you post on social accounts or avoid posting location until after you have left. These moves are not about fear. They are about lowering predictability while a case builds. Workplaces and schools can help when they are given clear, limited information. Ask to provide a photo of the person who may appear. Ask the front desk to call a manager if that person arrives. Request that your name not be announced over a speaker. If there is a protection order, provide a copy. Ask for a side exit when shifts end. If you deliver services in the field, ask that your schedule not be printed where visitors can see it. Housing managers can help with small, strong steps. Ask for a letter that warns visitors that loitering is not allowed. Ask for a record of any complaints about a person waiting near your door. If cameras exist, ask how long footage is kept and how you can request a copy when you need it. If a neighbor is willing, ask them to note dates and times when they see the same car circle the block. Police response varies by place. What helps almost everywhere is a clear report that shows pattern and fear. Bring the notebook. Bring printed messages with dates and times visible. Speak in plain lines. On Tuesday, March 12, at 7:50 a.m., he stood outside my gate for 10 minutes. On Friday, March 15, at 6:10 p.m., he followed me from the bus stop to my street. I fear for my safety and for my child. Ask for a case number. Write it in the notebook. Ask how to provide follow-up evidence. If the officer gives instructions, write them down in front of the officer and read them back to confirm. Civil orders can set rules even when a criminal case is not filed. Names change across regions. The idea is similar. You ask a court to set distance and contact limits. You describe events in order. You attach copies. If the court grants a temporary order, it must be served to be enforceable. Carry a copy at all times. Give a copy to work and to school. If the order is violated, call for help and record the date, time, and place. Each report builds the next step. Some regions offer address confidentiality for mail. Some allow you to protect voter records. Ask an advocate what is available where you live. If you move, limit who knows the new address. Update only the offices that must have it. Use a post office box for public forms when possible. Ask delivery drivers not to leave packages at the door. Small barriers slow information leaks. Community responses matter. Bus drivers can be trained to let a rider stay aboard to the next stop if someone follows them. Shop owners can offer a safe corner and a call to security. Apartment guards can keep a log of visitors and help with service of papers by directing officers to the right unit. Faith leaders can preach about safety without naming names and can offer a back door when someone needs to leave quietly. Friends can stand in line with a survivor when papers are filed so fear does not have a free hour to talk. Bystanders often ask what to do without making things worse. The answer is to be specific. Offer to be the log partner who keeps copies of texts and dates. Offer rides on days when hearings happen. Offer a spare room for 2 nights during a move. Offer to watch a child for 2 hours so a parent can meet a legal worker. Do not promise safety. Promise presence. Do not confront the person who stalks. Report what you see and record the date. Online communities can reduce risk by ending open comments when harassment starts and by saving copies before deleting threats. Moderators can capture usernames, dates, and links. They can send the files to the person targeted through a safe channel. They can post a short rule that bans doxing and threats. Quiet, firm rules deprive stalkers of crowds. Universities and large workplaces often have their own safety units. Campus police can add patrols near known routes. Security can escort a person to parking after dark. Mailrooms can hold packages for pickup. human resources can shift a desk away from a window that faces the street. These steps may seem small. Small steps compound across weeks. The survivor's action plan works when it fits a real day. Here is a compact version that can be held in the head. 1. Keep the notebook. Date. Time. Place. What happened? Who saw it? 2. Save the screen. Photograph messages and call logs with the date visible. Print key pages. 3. Vary the route. Change entrance and exit points. Ask a colleague to walk with you. 4. Share a photo with work and school. Provide a copy of any order. Ask for a side exit. 5. Audit devices. Turn off location sharing. Sign out of unknown logins. Add two-step sign-in to email. 6. Check the car. Remove saved locations from navigation. Ask a worker to inspect for tags. 7. Report with a pattern. Bring the notebook. Ask for a case number. Note the officer's name. 8. Build the circle. 1 advocate. 1 colleague. 1 neighbor. Code word set. Check-in time set. 9. Protect the address. Use a post office box where allowed. Limit who knows the new place. 10. Stay steady. Sleep. Eat. Move. Meet the counselor. Routine supports focus when fear pushes. A bystander's plan is shorter. 1. Believe the story and keep your opinions off the table. 2. Offer one concrete act. Drive. Print. Watch a child. Sit in court. Keep a copy set. 3. Record what you see with dates and times. Give the notes to the survivor. 4. Do not confront the stalker. Alert security or police if danger is present. 5. Check in at a set time. Keep the code word private. In Montego Bay, a hotel manager posts a quiet directive at the staff entrance. No visitor waits near the time clock. Security walks employees to the taxi stand after late shifts. The manager keeps a folder where staff can place copies of any incidents. The folder sits in a locked drawer. The staff understands why. Gossip harms. Records protect. In Miami, a block association meets in the evening. A survivor explains that a car circles the street at the same hour. The group creates a phone tree. If the car appears, 3 calls go out. 2 neighbors step outside and stand near the sidewalk. They do not engage. They make the street less empty. They note the time. They step back in when the car leaves. In Port of Spain, a small clinic adds a line to its intake. Do you need a safe device to talk about this matter? A drawer holds 2 clean phones with prepaid minutes. Each phone lives under a number that never touches a shared account. A log records when a phone goes out and when it returns. The phones are not perfect shields. They are practical tools that remove one channel of control. Cases advance unevenly. Orders are granted and then violated. Reports lead to warnings and then to charges. Some people stop when the crowd returns and the door closes. Others test the fence for months. The survivor's goal is not to live in fear. The goal is to hold ground while the system and the circle do their work. When a violation happens, document it with discipline. Call for help. Note the date and time. Save camera clips. Print messages. Tell the advocate. Ask the officer how to add the new event to the file. Ask how to prepare for the next hearing. Each documented act pushes the case from uncertain to clear. There are moments when a survivor needs to disappear for a short time. Plan this in advance. Identify a place 2 rides away from home. Pack duplicates of critical items. Arrange the school pickup. Ask a colleague to tell a manager that you are on leave for 1 day. Keep the circle small. The fewer people who know, the safer the move. Templates help under stress. Here are 2 short scripts. For a front desk. I have a protection order. This is his photo. If he arrives, please call security and then call me at this number. Do not share my schedule. For a report call. I am reporting a stalking incident. Today at 6:20 p.m., he waited outside my building for 20 minutes. I have photos with the time. My case number is listed here. Please add today's event to the file. Survivors sometimes worry that calm language makes their fear look small. The opposite is true. Calm, dated, specific lines are strong. They help officers, judges, and managers act without guesswork. They also help friends know exactly what to do. By the close of this series, a woman in Kingston has a folder that tells a clear story. The notebook runs from March to May with clean lines. Printed texts show a rise in messages after service of the order. Work has a copy of the order and a photo at the desk. School has a new pickup list and a code phrase. The car holds no trackers. The safe phone is charged. The child knows the script. The neighbor knows the code word. The advocate knows the next date. Safety is not a single door. It is a set of doors that open in the right order. Some open on the first try. Some take time and steady hands. No plan can promise a perfect end. A good plan builds room to live while pressure continues. The series began with a quiet voice before sunrise. It ends with voices that are steady and clear. Survivors, advocates, guards, clerks, drivers, colleagues. Each speaks one needed line. Each keeps a record. Each acts on time. Control does not win when a pattern meets a stronger pattern. The final question remains simple and hard. In the face of long shadows, what keeps a person free is not one act of courage. It is a practice chorus of small, exact moves that hold the light.